I want to take the final few moments this morning and just bring a biblical perspective right down to what AC was talking about just a moment ago. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 4, and I just want to read briefly, and let's remain standing this morning, John chapter 4, and I'm so thankful for all that we have heard, and I just want us to hear it from the words of Jesus Christ, specifically from John 4. I'm going to read beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what we have seen and heard. Thank you for A.C. Green's testimony, for his heart to serve you. Father, give someone else a testimony today, and we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all of us love to hear about game changers, and certainly A.C. Green is a game changer on and off the court, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for those who make a difference in our life. But I want to spend these final few moments speaking about Jesus Christ, the greatest game changer, the life changer, the eternal life changer. And I want to speak to you from the story here about the woman at the well. We often refer to this woman from a little city called Sychar in Samaria as the woman at the well. And I'm always amazed at the story because I learn two basic things from the story. First of all, that Jesus comes down to us where we are. That always humbles me. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The fact that he seeks us out and the fact that someone brought us here this morning tells me that God is still seeking. God is still touching hearts. And Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." He wanted to meet this particular woman. And her gender did not matter to him. Her race did not matter to him. Her social status did not matter to him. Her moral standing did not matter to him. All that mattered to Jesus was that she was a living soul that he had created, that he would die for, and he wanted to meet her. I'm glad this morning that God has no favorites, aren't you? I'm glad that the ground is level at the cross. I heard about a steward that was giving some pre-flight instructions and regarding the oxygen mask. And she said, in the event of the sudden loss of air pressure, the masks will descend. And she said, stop your screaming, grab the mask, pull it over your face. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting them with theirs. And then she said, if you are traveling with more than one child, pick your favorite. Now, how many of you are glad God doesn't have any favorites, right? And all of us are loved by God. And that always amazes me with this story. The other thing that amazes me wherever Jesus Christ interacts with people's lives is that he comes to bring change. Because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so I want you to see three things that Jesus changes for the woman at the well. The first thing he changes for her is her focus. Her focus. You see, when you read this passage, you find that her main focus is on the physical water. The Bible says in verse 7, she came to draw water. And really, that's where most people live. Their job, their bank account, their car, their schedule, just the physical world, just getting by, just doing what they have to do. This woman was totally focused on the here and now. But Jesus lifts our eyes up, not to the physical water, but to the spiritual water. And Jesus says in verse number 14, very clearly in this passage of John chapter 4, he says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." He said in verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give to me to drink, thou would ask of him, and he would give thee the living water." In fact, we read in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." That's the message of Jesus Christ. He says to a thirsty world, to a weary world, focused on the physical, he says, "Look up here. I want to put something in you that's never going to run out. I want to put my Spirit in you so that you never thirst spiritually. spiritually again. And so he's turning her focus from the physical to the spiritual. But then not only does he change her focus, but here we see God is going to change her faith, and specifically the object of her faith. The Bible tells us here that she had religion. In fact, look at verse 12. If you have your Bible there, it says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" In verse 20, she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." Now, she knew the surface elements of her faith or of her religion. The Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim. They were literally ostracized. The Jews had prejudice toward them. And so they had their own religion. And yet Jesus said to her, "Ye worship what ye know not." He said, you don't really understand what you're talking about. You know, sometimes religion is a fashionable substitute for true faith. Sometimes religion is a substitute for true belief. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5 that you can have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. In other words, you can look religious, you can act religious, you can have it all right on the exterior, but not know the power of the gospel within your heart. And so she had religion, but her religious traditions really had not affected her life. Really had not changed the way that she was living. In fact, here in chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, "Go and call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and the one that you are with now is not thy husband. This thou truly said." Now, Jesus was not saying this to put her down, only to illustrate she had a need, only to illustrate that religious tradition is not enough. Her tradition was not working for her. And so Jesus wants to turn her attention from religion and tradition to relationship, from religion to relationship. AC spoke so wonderfully of that a moment ago. And many of us have had a time in our life when, though we had a religion, my dad was a preacher, I grew up in church, I did not have a relationship. I was not sure that I would spend eternity in heaven someday. And the Bible tells us in John 4:25, the woman said, "I know Messiah has come," which is called the Christ, "and he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee am he." Jesus introduces himself to this woman as the Messiah, as the Son of God. Oh, listen, friend, Jesus is not inviting us to a denomination. He's not inviting us to organized religion. In fact, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to a relationship with himself. He says, "Cast your care upon me. Come unto me, all ye that labor." And so we see Jesus changes everything. He changes her focus from the physical to the spiritual. He changes her faith, the object of her faith, from the traditional to the relational. And he says, "I want you to come to me. I want you to know me." I pray this morning that you know the Lord personally, that he lives within your heart personally today. He changes her focus and her faith. But then I want you to see this finally. He changes her future. He changes everything about her future in this world and in the eternal world. Now, I want you to see that her future from this day forward was going to be settled because of the relationship she now entered into with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 29 these words, "Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" When this woman realized who she was talking to, something turned on in her heart and mind, a light turned on. She realized this is the Christ. She realized this was the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it clicked within her that Jesus was not just another man, just another teacher, just another prophet, that Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the virgin-born Son of God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, who lived a perfectly sinless life, was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. That's who she was meeting at this point. She was meeting the Messiah, the Son of God. God. You see, friends, this morning, a man may go to heaven without health. He may go to heaven without riches. He may go to heaven without friends. He may go to heaven without honors. But he will never go to heaven without Jesus Christ, you see. And this woman was realizing the essence of the person that she was now standing with. That's why John 3:16 still has such impact. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, even the woman at the well, and it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see, Jesus Christ came and he gave that perfect covering. Even as the Old Testament priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and pray for the atonement of Israel, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, sprinkled his blood and shed his blood on the cross. And that blood became the covering for the sin of the entire world. And whoever calls upon the Lord can be saved. This past week, we all have been so saddened and really in shock with the shootings in Las Vegas. Sometimes hard to process all of the devastation. And there was a man there in Las Vegas at the concert, a nurse from Tennessee. His name was Sonny Melton. Sonny heard the shots, and Sonny saw some of the sidewalk even around him being pierced with the bullets, and he grabbed his wife, and he turned away from the pouring in of the bullets and covered her body and began to take her away from the danger. And his wife said later to USA Today, as she was speaking, Heather said, "My husband turned and he covered me." And she said, "But when he was shot, he pushed into me and he fell down at my feet." Then she said these words, "He covered me. He saved my life." My friend, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, when he took the pain and the sorrow and the sin in his body, when the temple veil was rent from the top to the bottom, when the sky was darkened, Jesus Christ crying out, "Father," and oh, when Jesus suffered the pain of the cross, he covered your sin that day. He covered my sin that day. And because of that, we can find security and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secured by Jesus Christ, but we are also to see this morning that we can be secured. All of us who believe can be secured. You see, Jesus Christ wants every one of us to know his love. He doesn't want us doubting his love today. He wants us to know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home in heaven. Romans 3:23 says something fairly amazing. It says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's why we need a Savior. And until we recognize that we fall short, we don't need a Savior. I think A.C. Green has the most stellar testimony of any athlete that I've ever met, for which I praise God. But A.C. would tell you what I would tell you as a pastor. We still fall short. We're not perfect. We need a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And isn't it amazing? We don't have to teach people how to sin. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We don't have to teach the children in the nursery this morning how to sin. They've got it figured out already. I heard of a mother that heard her 7-year-old son screaming, and she ran into the room and she saw the 3-year-old daughter had wrapped his hair in her knuckles and she was pulling for all she could. And the mother said, "I'm sorry, buddy, your sister didn't want to hurt you. She didn't really know how that felt and she didn't really mean it that way." And so she settled things and went back to the kitchen. A minute later, she heard another blood-curdling scream and she ran back into the room and said to the 7-year-old, "What happened?" And he said, "She knows how it feels now." We don't have to teach the kids that stuff because all are sinners. All have sinned. But the wonderful news is this, that even though we fall short, Jesus came to pay for the penalty of our sin. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus came to die for our sin. In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We mentioned a moment ago, heaven and hell. Listen, friend, the wages of sin is separation from God. If I got what I deserved, I would not spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. The wages, the deserving payment of my sin is separation from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And listen to this verse. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is not through a church. It's not through doing good works. It's all because of the work of Jesus Christ when he paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. I love the story of evangelist Billy Graham driving through a southern state, and he was driving along and suddenly he was speeding and a car came behind him with the lights and pulled the evangelist over. And the evangelist admitted his guilt and he said, I'll come to the court and make my appearance and pay for my transgression. When he got there, the judge said, are you guilty or are you innocent? Billy Graham said, I'm guilty, sir. When he replied that he was guilty, suddenly the judge recognized this famous preacher. He said, Billy Graham, you have violated the law. Your fine must be paid. He said, but I'm going to pay it for you. And he took $10 out of his pocket and he gave it to the bailiff. And he said, not only am I going to pay your fine for you, but I'm going to take you to a steakhouse and buy you a meal and get to know you better. And Billy Graham said it was the most wonderful picture of the grace of God, because we had a debt we couldn't pay, and God Almighty paid the debt when Jesus Christ came, and he blesses us on top of that. And that, my friend, is what we call the grace of God, undeserved favor. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all have a sin nature. Jesus Christ came to pay for our sin. And that's wonderful news. But how do we personalize that? So as we close this morning, how do we know that we have that forgiveness, that relationship, that home in heaven? Well, it's something that every one of us personally must decide upon. We must exclusively trust in Jesus Christ. And it's not that difficult. Satan likes to make it seem so hard. But I want you to recognize it's very simple to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In fact, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's by grace you are saved. It's not of works. So many people think, if I do this for the church, if I do this, if I do that, maybe I'll get to heaven. No. It's not up to us. It's by grace we are saved. Now listen to these verses, 1 John 5. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now, how important is it then that we would invite the Son of God to be our Savior? That we would enter into that relationship with him? Sometimes as I go around the community, and I think maybe tens of thousands of times in my lifetime, I've said to someone, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity with the Lord someday? And a lot of times people say to me, well, I hope so. I think so. I wish I could. Did you know that 1 John 5:13 says this? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God says, I want you to know that you have eternal life. I don't want you to hope. I don't want you to wonder. I want you to have the assurance. But I want you to trust in my Son. He that has the Son has life. And it's an exclusive trust. Listen, it's not adding Jesus to your God shelf. It's not adding Jesus to your philosophy. It's not believing on Jesus in sort of a pantheistic way, like, yes, Jesus is one of the really good gods. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. It's putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we see a woman that needed to turn from the physical to the spiritual, a woman turning from the traditional to the personal. A woman that was turning from the unknown to the known. A woman that now knew who Jesus was, and she now knew what her eternity was, all because she had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Friend, if you've never settled that, if you've never turned from those traditions to that relationship, I want to encourage you to do it today. I want to encourage you to call out to the Lord and trust Him as your Savior and recognize that when you accept Christ as your Savior, the truth of Jesus Christ sets you free. And it's something that you can personalize in your own life from the physical to the spiritual. You can turn to Jesus Christ today. Let's pray together, shall we?